Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Morgan. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I am a young adult writer. I live in Los Angeles, and I have a dog who never barks.
I love your dog. Your dog Instagram is like classic.
He's definitely got his own personality. He's a lot sometimes.
So is he a brat? Did you ride once inspired?
No.
Okay.
No. So there's a dog in my book, Save the Date, where his personality is really like my dog's. Like this dog in Save the Date is just like weird and like kind of silent and not very affectionate, but like then suddenly like, so that's really Murphy's personality. And so I think I wanted to write like a sweet, cuddly, like happy little dog. So he's nothing like Brad at all.
I love that you got inspired by real life for some of your dog characters. You
know? Oh, totally.
And then.
Well, it's funny because I'd had a dog growing up. And then when I wrote the book, Second Chance Summer, there's a dog in it, but I didn't have my own dog at that point. And so I feel like looking back now, I'm like, oh, you can tell I wasn't like a dog owner. Like there's just like stuff I get wrong. And so I feel like you can definitely see there's a lot more dogs in my book since I got my dog. And like, there's a lot of dogs in Unexpected Everything and then Save the Date and then Take Me Home Tonight. So it's like, I feel you can feel the influence of Murphy.
Yes, I love it. I love the puppy energy that you get.
Yeah. It was really fun. And like, of course, in Take Me Home Tonight, the one person who really doesn't like dogs is the one who ends up with a dog. Like, it's just, you knew that was going to happen that way. It's just the way it has to happen.
Yeah, let's chat about Take Me Home Tonight, because basically everything that goes wrong, you know, like no phones, New York City, no money, literally $100 you cannot break.
No, like if you ever had to like try and break a $100 bill, it's like, it's radioactive. Like it's, you can't do anything with it. It's like the weirdest thing. And sometimes people don't even want to break 50s. And sometimes the ATM will like give you a 50 and it's like, no. But it's like, I definitely, not that it happens all the time, but I've been in a situation where it's like, you're trying to use legal tender and everyone's like, no. And you're like, but it's money, like take my money. But Take Me Home Tonight is the story of two best friends, Kat and Stevie. They're theater kids, they're polar opposites, and they take the train from the suburbs into New York City for what they think is going to be kind of just like a regular night. They have a few things planned out, and of course, they're barely off the train in Grand Central before everything starts going wrong. They're dealing with family drama and exes and cab drivers and unexpected Pomeranians, and over this course of the night, they'll end up becoming closer to each other and to the truest version of themselves, and that's kind of a little summary of Take Me Home Tonight.
I know. And then we have Tara's work, Adventures in Babysitting.
Yes. Yeah, that's the other thing. There's like a subplot running under it that's their friend who they left back home, who's kind of their alibi, who ends up having the craziest night of all, which was very much inspired by movies like Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah, which I have to admit, I was like, I'm like a huge 80s fan. And so this was like, it felt like Ferris Bueller meets Adventures
in Babysitting.
And it's just like fun.
Yeah.
So you said in New York, and you're from New York, but you don't live in New York. So what was the process of like, you know, mapping the whole city out, you know, stop here, stop there.
It was really funny because my family is still in Connecticut. So I go back all the time pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I had really anticipated being able to, while I was writing it, make a lot of trips into the city and kind of, you know, when you walk up the stairs of the Met, what exactly do you see? And how long does it take to get from Columbia down to, you know, I was planning on doing a bunch of kind of like research trips in the city. And I did one in like March, 2020, I was back home visiting and I was like in New York in March of 2020, just out there. And did a little bit, like I went up to Columbia and I went to some of the places I hadn't been before, cause I wanted to see what the lobby in this Columbia dorm was like and do a couple things. And I took a lot of pictures in Grand Central, but I was like, oh, I'll be back in like April and May. And then the world shut down. And I was like, well, I guess I'm going to use the internet and pictures and have to figure it out using that. So I definitely feel like it would have been a little different, I think, if I'd been able to have the kind of access to New York that I anticipated. But since I didn't, I feel like I kind of had to swerve a little bit.
But it's still read like as a New Yorker, like as someone who has read a lot of New York-based books and being like, okay, does it read like a New Yorker or does it read like a non-New Yorker? And it's
right.
has spent enough time in New York, I can tell you, it reads like a New Yorker. Like it reads like someone who knows the city.
Oh, that's good.
Stuff.
Like, I feel like what I ended up doing was basing more of the stops on places that I knew really well. Yeah. Whereas if I'd had the opportunity to go do more stuff on my own, I might have, but the apartment building that like Stevie's dad lived in was the one I grew up in, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just because like, I know this lobby, I know what's on this block, I know this revolving door, like it was, it, you know, I know Belvedere Castle, it's like that Gray's Papaya. And so I think I like leaned back on more things that I was really familiar with, whereas if I'd had more chances to go into New York and I might have like found other places. But I think because I was in California writing this, I was like, well, I just have to do what I know really well. But thank you for saying that. That's like a really like a big compliment.
Yeah, like it just felt like a local New Yorker, like things that you would normally do. Like, you know, I would go whenever I go to the Upper West High, I would stop at Grace Papaya's.
Like, of course, you know, the best. It's the best. And I was like reading that, or when I was writing it, I was like, I want the drink so badly. I want my fruit drink so badly.
Me too. I'm just like, and it's like, you know, the Bodega Cats, like, yeah. You know, like actually talking about like even the off Broadway, you know. God.
It's like weird theaters you walk like down into and you're just like, where am I? What's happening?
Yeah.
Yeah. But like also it's just like it made me very nostalgic for like, because now we're going to it again, which is great. But especially when I was writing it, it was like really nostalgic for when you could like go to Grace Papaya and you would leave and you would drink your smoothie and like no one was wearing a mask and you would just like eat your hot dog on the street and just like that kind of whole world. Like when I was rising it, I was like, oh god, like I wrote the first draft before the pandemic, which I think really helped, is that I was sort of writing it before all this happened and like a regular night in New York. And then when I was revising it, I was like, this no longer feels like the world. I was like, do I write science fiction now? Like, what's happening?
Historical fiction. It's just like,
seriously, it really felt like that. I was like, oh, I'm no longer writing like realistic contemporary. This is really weird.
Yeah, so hopefully, you know, hopefully in the next few months it might
we'll get back there.
We'll get back there. We'll be bigger and better than ever.
Yep, absolutely.
So I love this. So I got a question. You got a pause one. And
yes, I love it.
Let's talk about instructors. Like,
okay.
Who are your go-to?
Who do you like? Because I feel like I started it in like February. So I'm always like picking everyone's brain for like who they like and what they like to do. My favorite is Emma Lovewell. I love her classes. I take her all the time.
I love her. Love Ali Love. Like, I love her classes. I do really well in her classes.
Okay.
My competitive streak does.
Okay, I'll check her out.
Cody for his tangents and his, like, spills about, like, Kelly Rowland, JP, you know.
Everyone was like, Cody. And I was like, okay. And so I took his class and I was like, and the thing about Cody is I get my best like numbers in his classes. Like, I do, but it bugs me when he stops writing to talk. I'm kind of like, we all need to be in this together, Cody. Like, I didn't sign up to like watch you like sit there and talk to me. And I really love that Emma like rides the whole time. Like, I really appreciate it when someone rides the whole time, because if someone stops riding, I'm kind of like, well, then why am I doing this? Is it Leanne?
Leanne.
I like her a lot. Yeah.
I like Leanne too. I like Jess King every so often. And I remember taking Robin's class in person before the pandemic. So
mostly I will like a lot of times it's all based on the playlist. Like I'll look at various playlists and be like, no, I don't want to ride to that. And I really like a lot of Emma's playlists. But sometimes I'll just look at, oh, it's like, I want a country ride right now. I want a 90s ride. I want a like modern, pop ride. And like, it's like deeply sad to me that there's no Taylor Swift songs on.
Is it a Taylor ride? This should be a Taylor ride.
I was like, one of the first things I did was look for it. And I was like, wait, what is happening? And so I hope that as she like re-releases her own stuff, that she's doing some kind of deal with them to like, this be possible. Because I'm kind of like, I can't do a Taylor ride. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I feel like we need a Taylor ride. Like, honestly, there are certain people that we need multiple rides. because we have multiple records and multiple.
I was honestly shocked. I just like assumed that there would be, because they have like, I've done like a Coldplay ride, for heaven's sakes. Like what is happening? Like, where's the Taylor? And so I was truly shocked. And I think I like tweeted it out. I was like, what is happening? Am I looking for it in the wrong place? And everyone's just like, no, it's just not there. Which is a bummer.
I don't know. We need some trophies.
Come on, Taylor. Come on.
Some Taylor. We need some Taylor. We need like some, just exactly. Like more of those. We need more rides for it.
I agree. Yeah. Totally.
So what was the process of writing during pandemic? Like, you wrote the first draft before the pandemic,
yep.
And then you were editing and getting the magic happen. How was that?
It was okay. I mean, I think it was definitely easier because right now I'm finishing up a first draft, and I definitely think it was easier to edit in a pandemic than to write a book in a pandemic, because mm-hmm. I had a lot of friends who were drafting during the pandemic and they were having a really hard time. And I was like, yeah, I guess so. It's okay. And then I started like writing my new book, and I was like, oh no, this is a lot harder. This is a lot harder than revising. Because the nice thing about revising was it like let me jump back into this time when it was the pre kind of world, and I got to like live in that space and like lose myself in this. I think I would have had a harder time creating this world of these like two girls having a fun time in New York, especially because that was when New York was going through like the hardest time. Mm-hmm. So I was glad that I had sort of had that blueprint of the first draft to just kind of like make better, but I didn't have to start from scratch in the middle of that like really hard headspace. And I feel like all my friends who are writers, everyone kind of had a tough time. And I always say this, it's that like, we're not welders, you know what I mean? Like, we don't like go somewhere and do a thing that's separate. Is that like our offices are our heads. And like, when you're really stressed out or scared or, you know, living through a global pandemic, it's harder to like have the calm and the creativity to feel like you can create something. So I just think it was like a really tricky thing because, I mean, I think some people are really good at like compartmentalizing and being like, setting aside the global pandemic, let's write a fun book. But I think most of us, it's like, you're scared and you're worried and you know, there's family stuff, whatever it is. It's like, it was like all of our offices were like on fire. Like, you can't like be expected to like calmly sit and write something when it's like, everything's like in flames around you. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not an easy thing.
but it was lovely to kind of keep getting to like make this story better, go back to this like vision of New York. And I'm really glad that this book is a kind of like, I mean, obviously there's like, you know, bigger emotional themes, and both girls are like dealing with a lot of self-growth, but for the most part, it's like fun. It's fast paced. Like, there's a lot of humor in it. And so it was really fun to get to return back to that world. And I think I would have had a harder time if I'd written like a very heavier book or a more serious book or a book dealing with like grief or loss or something. Like, I feel like that would have been a lot harder to be living with in the middle of living with a pandemic. So I feel like serendipitously it really kind of worked out.
Yeah, I think you're just like, it's like a sparkly, frothy book to read this summer. Like, you know, you're certain.
Even though it's in November, like, yeah. Let's not mention that.
I know. It's like, it happens in November, but you don't like, you just like, oh, okay. It's like, it can happen any day, you know?
I wanted it in November for a couple of reasons, because I wanted the college question to not be answered yet, but to kind of be gaining steam. And I, first semester, like senior year, I think is like a specific moment of its own that I kind of mm-hmm. wanted to dig into. But also, I love New York in November and December so much. And like, the moment they're there in November, it's like Christmas lights are just starting to go up. And like there's like, you go into certain lobbies of buildings and they like have their tree up, but maybe it's not decorated. And it's just like, it's the whole city like beginning to get ready for this, but you're not like sick of everything yet. And like, New York in November is like, it's like so perfect. Cause it's also not like bone chilling cold yet. And like, it's like exciting to put on your coat and like wear your nice like sweater or whatever. But you're not like sick of everything you own. And so I definitely wanted it to be like that specific moment that they were going into the city.
Yeah, I love it. I love New York in November. I think it's just like November and December is just like the perfect time for the city. It's just like the city shows up and it's like.
Oh, it's so sparkly. I know, I love it.
So I love this. You actually write, you have created a world within your books with Sandwich. Connecticut. Yeah. So, and you have like, you give us Easter eggs every so often. So do you keep track of them? Like, you have like a serious Bible, like, you know, different places?
I, I don't, but I sort of know what's happening with everyone. Like, it was really funny when I was talking to my editor. So there's a character, one of the major characters in Unexpected Everything is our heroine's father, who's a congressman. And then in Save the Date, you find out that he's become like governor of Connecticut. Mm-hmm. And I was writing Save the Date, but like was talking to my editor about it. And I was like, oh yeah. And then Governor Walker, and he was like, what? And I like hadn't told him that yet. And it was like, he was like, wait, what? I didn't know this. And so it was like really funny. I feel like it's just all in my brain. Like the funny thing now is that people are starting to see things that like I didn't intend. They're like, oh, is this person that person? And I'm like, no, it's not. So I do think I have to be like, I think I probably should start creating a document about like the names I'm using and making sure it doesn't, because like people are starting to be like, this is this. And I was like, that was not my intention at all. I'm like very intentional with what I do. And I don't want people, since everyone reads so closely now because of this, I don't want people to be like misled because I use like a double name one time. So, but no, it's just like all in my brain. And I feel like I do kind of have a sense of like, oh, where these people are, not like a huge sense of it, but just like a vague idea of like, this has happened to this person's over here, this person's over here. And then if it feels right in a book, it's like, okay, let's like actually like refer to that and like bring this person in or whatever it is. It's really fun. It's like one of my favorite parts about this like weird universe I've created.
Yeah, I love your universe. It's just like, I just want to know what's happening in Connecticut.
You know? I know, it's like, it's really fun. And it's like, I just love, like, cause I used to read Stephen King books growing up and he would do this. And so you would like be reading Stephen King book and there'd be like a reference to like Shawshank Prison or like, you know, Derry, where it is set, or like, and you're just like, oh my gosh, like this is all like linking up together. And it made the world feel really big, but also like smaller, like in a really exciting way. And it feels like it's like a nice little reward for someone who's read all the books. It's like, hopefully it wouldn't bother you because anyone can pick up these in any order. And so hopefully it wouldn't like take you out of the story. You wouldn't feel like left out. It would just be like, oh, someone's talking about a character. I don't know who that is. But like for the readers, it's like, oh, they get to like see someone and like find something out. And so it really makes me happy. And it makes me so happy that so many people respond to it. Like so many people, like when I say I'm writing a new book, the first question is always like, what are the cameos? Who's going to show up? What's going to happen? And so I love it. It's really exciting for me.
Yeah, I love it. I feel like it's just like a hunt. It's like an extra layer of like when I'm reading.
Yeah.
I'm like,
oh,
okay. Here's this character.
It also makes them feel like real people. Like their lives are continuing on. And like, you know, maybe they'll cross a path and you'll find out what's happening with them. And it's not their story anymore. But it's like, oh no, everyone's like off living their lives. And, you know, it's just like, I think it makes it feel like a real kind of like lived in world, which makes me really happy.
I love this. So what book would you recommend? Like what book authors, you know, would you recommend for listeners to pick up?
I read a book that I love this spring called This Is Not the Jess Show by Anna Carey. Yeah. And it's really good. It's one of these books that's like very hard to describe without spoiling like a big plot twist in the book. But it's like, it starts with this girl in like 1998, I think. And she's just kind of like living her life. And then you start to realize that like all is not as it seems. And so it's like really fun. It's like one of those books where you hit like a certain threshold and you just like can't stop reading it. It's just like, oh, okay, I'm just gonna like be sitting here until I'm done with this book. I also really love Maureen Goo's books. Her most recent is Somewhere Only We Know, which is basically like the movie Roman Holiday, but set in Hong Kong with a K-pop star. And they're just like comfort reads. Like they're just such like fun, romantic, swoony, fluffy, lovely books. So I love those.
I love this. Tell us where you can find you online.
Yes. Find me online. I'm on Twitter at Morgan_M and I'm on Instagram at Morgamat. And it would have been really something that made sense to make those names be the same, but I did not do that when I joined like 10 years ago. So they're two separate things.
So good. Thank you, Morgan, for being in the show.
This was so great. Thank you so much.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share it with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For book recommendations, author interview archives, and other fun book resources and tips, please visit watchreadnextblog.com. The Watch Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Network. To discover new shows to listen and love, please visit frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.